This hour is brought to you by NJ Diet. NJ Diet contractually guarantees that you'll lose 20 to 40 plus pounds in only 40 days. Go to NJDiet.com or call them at 855-5-NJ-DIET.
Live from the Old National Bank State Street Studio.
You're listening to Waddle and Sylvie on ESPN 1000.
WMVP, WSHE HD2, Chicago.
Chicago's home for sports.
A Good Karma Brands radio station.
You know what I love? I love talking to Peter King. I love reading Peter King. He's been a frequent guest for many years on the Waddle and Sylvie show. Always great to us. Love his training camp reports. Football Morning in America. All that great stuff.
He doesn't have to be on the road for 6 or 7 weeks these days the way he once did back in the day when we were playing in leather helmets.
Yeah. Let's ask Peter. He joins us right now on the Waddle and Sylvie show. So how long is your training camp tour? Is it much shorter because the camps are not as long, Peter?
No, and thanks for having me on, guys. I still do about as many teams as I've always done. I try to do like between 18 and 20 every year. And so I'm on the road for 25 to 27 days, something like that. And I always take, I'm actually in Kansas City today and I'm flying to be with my family for 2.5 days before continuing later in the week, just because, I mean, I'm 65 years old and you know what I have learned? I love naps.
What's there, not to love?
There are zero naps on the training camp circuit. That's all I would say. So anyway, I'm going to go home and I will guarantee you for the next 2 days, there will be a healthy 90-minute nap each afternoon.
What is your nap situation? Are you a lazy boy napper?
I'm a couch. I'm a couch napper.
Okay.
I don't like to go to bed because then I don't want to sleep for, 3 hours. I just want to sleep for somewhere between 30 and 50 minutes if it's possible.
Nice.
And then you get up, you're refreshed, it's good. And but anyway, I've sort of grown to really be a fan of naps. And, you don't really get to do that when you're standing on the sideline at a practice.
Hey, Peter, we always talk about the difference between working hard and working smart. Do the teams in the NFL, do they get it? Are they doing it the right way now compared to years gone by? Or is there still an element of physical activity that isn't there that needs to be there?
Well, the first year I covered it, was 1984. I covered the Cincinnati Bengals for the Cincinnati Inquirer, and training camp was in Wilmington, Ohio. And I would say the vast majority of days, they practice from 9 to 11 in the morning and 3 to 5 at night or in the afternoon. And Wilmington was one of the hottest places on the planet. And it was brutal. There was no shade anywhere. I used to stand with Paul Brown a lot of times at practice, and they were always full padded practices, and that was just the way it was done forever. But now, I watch the Chiefs today, full practice day was probably an hour and 35 minutes in shells. They weren't even in pads, and nobody hit anybody. And I think they are smarter. I think, especially at this time of year at training camp, okay, so we're basically about 2 weeks into it now for most teams. And what's happening right now is, and I'm sure we could say the same thing is true for the Bears, but let's say the Chiefs, for example. So you got Patrick Mahomes, who doesn't have Tyreek Hill now, and he's got Marquez Valdes-Scantling. He's got Juju Smith-Schuster. And he's got that rookie from Western Michigan, Sky Moore. Mm-hmm. And he has to get every one of those guys ready to play on September 11th. And it isn't just, it isn't just the fact that they need to know where to run on a specific play. They need to do it fast. Like today was a very fast tempo practice. It was fast. It was Mahomes orchestrating the whole thing, and it's just one of those things that it's more important to do that than to beat each other up in training camp. And I saw that the other day at the Bears, too. I was there on Friday, and you just sensed that it was Luke Getsy really trying his best to make sure that he installs plays that he feels confident can work for Justin Fields, that, you know, that he can get like Darnell Mooney out in space to be able to make plays. He can figure out what kind of role Velus Jones is going to have and all that stuff. And so I think it doesn't make a lot of sense to be ultra physical, especially when you're in the first year with a new team. It's really important for those guys to be able to go out on opening day and know exactly what they're doing.
We were talking today during Crosstalk that you know it's getting closer to football when you open up that Peter King Football Morning in America piece, and you know, oh, there's so many good points from this. And that's what caught our eye. I saw the video of you interviewing Justin Fields, Peter. And I know you don't really get to know the team all from top to bottom with the quick stays. But what was your first impression or your biggest takeaway from your visit with the Bears?
When I look at practice, it's a weird thing to say, but, you know, I've seen Aaron Rodgers. We've all seen Aaron Rodgers roll out right. Look, and finally be able to find somebody who's open. You know, that's always been a staple of their passing game. And so what I thought was really interesting in just watching the Bears is that play, I saw Justin Fields probably do that 6 times the other day. And I can't give you a count, but 2 or 3 times he just ran. One time, the crowd really cheered because he ran it all the way into the end zone. And obviously, Justin Fields is a much better runner than Aaron Rodgers. But, you know, Luke Getsy wants the ball to come out. You know, he doesn't want the ball to stay in. And so that's something that is going to be a work in progress. I think the other thing is that, you know, when you can just tell, and Tom, you'll know exactly what I'm talking about. But, and again, I'm not in their meetings. I don't know this per se. But the one really interesting thing that I walked away saying this has to improve is, you know, and Brady was always so great at this, that if you have, let's say, a 15-yard comeback route, you know, and you're going to throw it up the field, and Tom Brady, many times this is a staple of their thing too, it's a 15-yard comeback, so you put your foot in the ground at 15 yards, and then you come back 3 yards, let's just say. And so Tom Brady is going to throw the ball at 12 yards beyond the line of scrimmage, and he is going to count on his receiver being there. And that is exactly what Justin Fields needs to have, that kind of chemistry with all his receivers learning a new offense. And, you know, they're not there yet. And I think that those two things I notice that, and again, look, I have a Polaroid picture of the Bears offense. I don't know anything. I'm just looking at what I saw the other day. And to me, the timing and rhythm are really important and they need to improve. And I also think the fact that, you know, he needs to get, Fields needs to get and know his receivers a little bit better on those, on the throws where he's rolling out.
You mentioned Getsy a couple of times. Waddle coined the phrase because you saw Nagy today, I'm sure, at Chiefs camp, and he's a wonderful man, but him coming up with offense, we scratched our heads in Justin Fields' debut. None of it made sense. So Waddle's coined the term that we hope Luke Getsy makes it make sense. Did you have the impression that Luke Getsy is a smart guy and knows what he's doing calling the plays for Justin Fields?
I thought that was a fantastic hire by the Bears. In fact, I was a little bit surprised post-Hackett that he left, honestly. You know, because Nathaniel Hackett obviously left to go to Denver. But, you know, to me, I sort of look at that hire as, look, Everybody around Green Bay will tell you that this guy is a teacher at heart, just like Nathaniel Hackett is, really. You know, he's a teacher at heart. And that, to me, is exactly what Justin Fields needs. He needs a patient person. You know, this is one other thing I notice when I go around. You know, I haven't seen many. I don't think I recall one time seeing a coach read the guy a riot act, ream a guy out for doing something wrong. And in fact, Matt LaFleur was talking about that. He said, you know, I think we just need to, you know, cut out a little bit of the discipline necessarily, like right away, don't snap at players. Just tell them, hey, you did this wrong, you got to do it right. And, you know, as he says, you know, those are things you learn over the years. And I just think Getsy is the kind of teacher that Justin Fields needs. Look, they're in a time of big transition, you know, two years, two different offenses. And, you know, it's not going to be pretty at first. It just won't be. And, you know, your whole goal, this whole year should be about the care and feeding of Justin Fields, period. That's what this year needs to be about. And make the decisions that are going to be best for him. This is going to sound weird. I don't think there's much pressure on him this year at all. Now, if he's terrible, then all of a sudden, oh, my God, you know, what are we going to do? But he's not going to be terrible. He's going to take some baby steps and learn and make some great plays and probably make some dumb throws, because that's what happens when you're in the first year of a new offense. But I'd be bullish on Getsy coaching.
Yeah, I called Getsy the most important guy in the building that's a non-player at the moment. Obviously, Ryan Poles will play, you know, is the guy that's most important putting his team together. But with no disrespect to Eberflus, the most important commodity that you have is your quarterback and developing him and getting him back on track. And that's under Luke Getsy's.
But the other thing that's kind of interesting about that, I would agree with you 89%, but I would also say, you know, Eberflus told me he's sitting in on most, if not all, of those quarterback meetings. Mm-hmm. You know, he wants to know. He really wants to know what the, you know, he wants to see what's going into the head of his young quarterback, you know.
Yeah. I also, Peter, I agree with the assessment that I think you can look at the field situation and come to the conclusion that he's not under a ton of pressure, because I think the expectation level will be at a very modest level because there's not a ton around him in that offensive huddle. But with that as the backdrop, how much progress do you think he can make this year, knowing that he doesn't have a ton of talent out on the edge?
That's a question that I asked when I left there too. What it says to me is that they really need to be right about Velus Jones.
Yeah.
You know, they need him. Look, Mooney, you watch him play and you know that he is going to bring something to this offense. You know he's going to contribute. It's just that you need two or three other guys so that there isn't this intense amount of pressure, you know, on Mooney all the time to make plays when they're shading coverage to him and trying to take him away. So I don't know. I think that this is obviously, it's about the quarterback, but it's also about finding one or two others other than Mooney who are going to be part of the solution going forward.
Peter King joining us. It's Waddle and Sylvie on ESPN 1000. And you know, all the years that you've covered the league, the discipline in the NFL has always been polarizing. And it's been super polarizing under Roger Goodell. They're doing it different this year with the way the NFL is able to appeal. Where do you believe Deshaun Watson's suspension is going from here?
I think that... you know, when the NFL, obviously, for the listeners who don't know, when the NFL made the sanction or made the representative of, you know, the NFL and the NFLPA, the impartial arbitrator hired by both sides, made the decision to recommend a 6-game suspension. Obviously, the NFL was going to appeal that because they view what Deshaun Watson did as heinous. The arbitrator didn't like it, but was not as bothered as most people around the NFL seem to be about it, and certainly not as much as I am bothered by it. I recommended that, you know, the two sides get together and just end this. It's just, it's way too much. It's just taking too much energy out of the room. Nobody is ever going to be happy with any part of this discipline. And I said, they ought to just, meet somewhere in the middle or whatever and say 10 games. And for instance, if it's 10 games, just, and then end it, it's over. It's like I quoted my favorite quote of the Paul Tagliabue regime, 17 years, my favorite quote, all's well that ends. And, you know, it's about, let's get this stupid thing over with. It's just taken so much of the air out of the room. And as I say, it could be 900 games, and there are going to be a lot of people who are going to say, ban them for life, burn them at the stake. And there's going to be a bunch of people who say, oh, my God, it's already way too much. He missed last year. No one's going to be happy. Somebody make a decision, and everybody just shut up and play. That's how I look at it right now, and I wish that's what they would do. Because no matter how long they take, no matter how many more adjudications of this puzzle there are, nobody, the vast majority of people, whatever is decided, are not going to be happy.
Peter, he's a great talent, an elite-level quarterback. He's young. But he is also in charge of making decisions. And as a decision-maker off the field, obviously, he hasn't done a very good job. With all of that in the context of football, did the Cleveland Browns make a good trade?
I mean, time will tell. I think you have to. I think it's two questions, really. Did the Cleveland Browns make a good trade for a franchise quarterback? Yeah, because no matter what you pay, if he's good, it's utterly, utterly reasonable. Okay, and so that part of it is fine. The contract is patently absurd. To give a guy the amount of money, guaranteed money they gave him with 24 swords of Damocles hanging over his head.
Right.
And kids, go look that up. It's an old expression that says, you know, in essence, there's something big coming down the pike that we don't really know yet what it is. And that's what they did. Why in the world they felt compelled to guarantee a $230 million contract when there was an outside chance, not a good chance, but an outside chance that this guy was going to be found guilty in a jillion civil suits. And that is what you want with your team. Now, obviously, he's settled all but one of those now. But I just thought there was no reason to do that. Now, as far as the trade itself goes, I think this year is going to be a mulligan. Because let's just say, for the sake of argument, that the sanction is increased to 10 games. And we could pick any number out. That means if it's 10 games, Deshaun Watson will step on the field in late November this year, the Sunday after Thanksgiving, after not having played football for 99 weeks, and now he's playing for a new team with guys he's never thrown the ball to in games. And you tell me, I quoted an NFL person in my column today saying, which I totally agree with. We're all assuming that Deshaun Watson is going to come back and be Deshaun Watson. I don't know. He might be Nick Foles. I don't know who he's going to be. How do you know? And so that's why I just think that, you know, if I'm the Browns, I just want to get through this year. Yeah. I want to try to do as well as we can this year. And then, you know, next year we blank slate it with a guy who'll have 4 years left on his contract. And then let's see where we are.
Peter, as we let you go, what's the coolest thing you've seen on your tour so far, whether it's on the field or off?
So last Monday I was in Cincinnati and I was walking out of practice. I had hung around a little bit, talked to a few people, shooting the breeze with a few others. And now it was desolate there. There was an equipment guy and his assistant at the jugs machine. And there was one player standing 8 yards away getting ready to start his regimen of catching balls after practice off the jugs machine. It was Ja'Marr Chase. So I looked around, And the only other guy is there is Jeff Hobson from Bengals.com, who's playing token defense on him. And I just look at this, and I'm dead serious when I say this. It was a lonely field. It was 92 degrees with 84% humidity. I looked down at my phone, and it was just brutally hot. He had gone through a two-hour practice. He'd done his post-practice stuff. And there was Jamar Chase. He finished one huge bucket of balls, 40 balls. And I said, how many in there? The equipment guy said, about 40. And I said, how many are you doing? And Jamar Chase says, I do three of them. I do three buckets. That's 120 footballs coming out of a jugs machine 40 miles an hour from 24 feet away. And I was transfixed by it. I just couldn't believe it. Call up my column and look at the video that I took of that today. And look at how empty the Bengals practice field is. There's nobody there. Nobody there. And so when I just thought of that, I had no intention whatsoever of making that my story coming out of Cincinnati, none. But I got in the car with my two assistants from NBC, two young gals who go around with me and do the videos and drive and kind of manage the trip. And they said, hey, how was it? And I said, I've been here for 9 hours, and in the last 10 minutes, I got my story out of this camp. And so those are the kind of things that make you say, man, I really, really love this job, because I just saw something really cool that nobody else is seeing and that I am going to tell people about. So I don't know. You have these little moments on a trip like this that you say, that really is important, it's cool, and kind of love my job.
In a lot of instances, the best players are also the hardest workers, and I think that's the case with Jamar Chase.
And that's what makes you, why we've read you for years and admire you, Peter, because you bring us inside like that when we're not able to be there. So thank you, and we will look that up for sure.
Thanks, Peter.
Okay. Okay, guys, thanks a lot for having
Happy
me.
Happy napping. There's Peter King. Sweet. Yeah. Good stuff right there. He's always first of all, he's seen it all, and yet he still brings you the cutting-edge stuff.
He gets premier access as well.
Yes, he's super respected. He did an interview with Justin Fields when he was at Bears camp on Friday. All right, we've got the good, the bad, the dirty. Our thoughts from the sports weekend or anything else we came in with. And then there was some big cat surprised everybody.
Oh, yeah.
Pardon My Take went up to Green Bay, and they got one of their white whales. They talked to Aaron Rodgers. We will play you some of the stuff he had to say about owning Chicago at around 5 o'clock.
You're listening to Waddle and Sylvie.
ESPN 1000, and now on FM at 100.3 HD2.
This is Chicago's home for sports.
The good.
It's gone! Oh, my God!
The bad.
That is so bad, that is absolutely brutal.
And the dirty.
I'm talking about nasty.
Wow. So many stories are running through my head right now.
Waddle and Sylvie on ESPN Chicago.
Brian, our weekend recap of anything, really. One thing good, one thing bad, one thing dirty is all brought to you by Window Nation. Call my guys today at 866-90-NATION. Visit windownation.com. From start to finish, completely satisfied with all the windows that I had replaced. Custom-made windows to fit absolutely perfect. They educated me on the process. windownation.com or call them at 866-90-NATION. All right, we'll go around the room. The entire crew's here with Tyler and Meller as well. Waddle, why don't you get us started with one thing good?
My good is not sports-related. My good is I finished, you know me, I'm a TV guy now. That's all I do is watch television. I finished The Offer, the story about the making of The Godfather. And I got to tell you, it was fabulous. Fabulous.
Was it better than some of the other shows you've been recommending?
It's just different. It's different. And it's supposed to be, you know, pretty much all factual. So the story itself is very, very compelling. I thought Miles Teller was great. But my favorite character of all is the guy that plays the part of Robert Evans, who was the studio chief at Paramount Pictures. Just a brilliant job. And you, when you watch it, you'll understand what I'm saying. I think the guy's Matthew Good is his name. But his role is just phenomenal. I thought, look, the Godfather was such a great movie, and I'm very interested in all the surrounding stuff. I thought this was done well, and It's really cool. I think
for the people who, in our audience who are younger and who haven't seen The Godfather,
like Tyler,
could this stand alone?
I would not. We had this conversation on Friday, right? I would advise you to watch the movie before you watch this show, but I thought they did a fantastic. Sometimes you don't hit the mark with some of these types of presentations. I thought this one was great. It was fabulous.
I am watching, I moved on from Old Man. I am now in the middle of Blackbird. How many episodes is Blackbird? Because I believe
6 max.
Okay, really? Because yeah. I'm on like number 5, I think. So I'm getting close to the end.
Yeah.
It's fantastic.
I told you that. One of the characters in that show, too.
And that's an Apple show.
Yeah.
So some great recommendations. I always get my recommendations from you guys now. You guys amazing.
Whoever gave us the offer, I nailed it. Who was it? Was it you, Mel, or was somebody, or is it Abdallah? Whoever it was.
Abdallah's usually good. Mel's good with
Now
Rex.
I'm searching for new shows.
You're good with the recommendations. I'm going to look. I was working out. I was watching Blackbird on the big TV, but I did have the Cubs on the second TV in the basement, and I saw this out of the corner of my eyes, and I'm like, did he make this catch? And to me, after all the years of me watching Cubs baseball at Wrigley Field, I don't know if I've seen a better catch along the foul pole wall, like near the Bartman seats. It was further down than the Bartman seats, but the Ian Happ catch is my good. This is from Saturday.
Wendell into the left field corner, Happ tracking it, Happ jumping up, and he makes the catch. Outstanding play, Cub left fielder against the Marlins.
My wife was impressed when I showed her that, the highlight of that. And when she's impressed with Cubs baseball, you know it had to be something. He banged into that left field wall pretty hard. He made a hell of a catch. My good goes to Ian Happ, who is still with the Cubs, and he's making good plays.
Did Willie give him a hug afterwards?
I'm sure, right.
Was there a hug?
I'm sure there were hugs exchanged. Mellor, what's your good?
That's probably Ian Happ's last great catch down the left field line.
Oh,
you have to imagine. My good gentlemen, over the weekend, we had the new inductees into the Pro Football Hall of Fame class. And, of course, to the very end, humble and classy, Dick Vermeil, a small piece of his induction speech.
But I'm so gracious because they provided me an example and an opportunity to learn from them. I learned from my players. Many people said to me, Coach, you impact players. It's the other way around. Players impact me. Players impact me. Last night, sitting up behind me was Mike Jones. If Mike Jones doesn't make the tackle on the last play of the Super Bowl 34, I'm not here today. Players win games. It's our job to prepare them to get them ready to win games and share relationships and work ethics and everything else with them. So, God, I will forever be in debt. I will be forever in debt to all you.
Just a very cool thing said by a guy who is going into the Pro Football Hall of Fame. Just love that he was more than happy to spread the love around. And he's probably right. If he doesn't win that Super Bowl with the Rams, he probably doesn't get
it. He lost one in Philly, right?
Correct.
And then he went. He's in the booth for all those years. He's on the brink of being fired by the Rams. They thought he was practicing them too hard and everything. And then all of a sudden, the starting quarterback goes down, and Kurt Warner and that greatest show on turf thing happens, and he wins the Super Bowl. And Mike Jones on the one against, we just talked about it, Kevin Dyson. I was at that Super Bowl. Incredible. What do you got, Tyler? What's your good?
My good is Dylan Cease. He extended his streak of starts with a one earned run or fewer to 13. That's the longest in MLB history for a non-opener.
It's incredible, isn't it? Because if the White Sox do find a way to go on a run, they've got themselves a damn good game one starter pitching as well as anyone in baseball.
As long as you're not playing the Blue Jays, right?
Well, I mean, would he change his mind?
Don't know. Somebody had to, right? Didn't this?
Whit Merrifield had to.
And so did went to the Yankees, also from Kansas City, former Red Sox.
Oh, Andrew Benintendi.
Benintendi did as well, I believe. All right, go ahead. What's your bad?
My bad is some of the Bears' injuries, specifically in the wide receiver room. N'Keal Harry, I believe, has got a high ankle sprain that's going to keep him out a while. Sounds like the Byron Pringle quad is something that's going to keep him out for quite some time as well.
Well, you know it is because we know what the injury is.
Yes, exactly.
So we know it's going to keep them out.
I think they're going to be surprised if he's even available for the opener, right?
That's Matt Eberflus's rule. Yeah. If it's day-to-day, we don't get to know what the injury is, but if it's going to keep them out a while. Yeah,
it sounds like Pringle's going to be out for quite some time as well. And then Valus Jones was listed as day-to-day. So injuries are starting to get the best of them. I don't think Kyler Gordon has practiced a bunch recently either. Tevin Jenkins obviously is a different situation. I don't know if that's an injury. I have no idea what the F that is all about. But yes, the wide receiver room already thin has gotten thinner.
My bad is this Jose Abreu quote. Did you see this floating around after their loss on Saturday? They were look like another. They were dead ass team again on Saturday. Like this, just and then they wash it out on Sunday where they score and you're like, okay, everything's back. But they Dane Dunning sticks it up there, you know, and they look dead. And you're like, what's the problem? So they go to Abreu, who they all say is the leader in the clubhouse, right? And Jose Abreu, through the translator, said, asked if intensity and focus is where it should be. And he said, quote, the only thing I can control is just trying every day to do my best and bring the best to the organization. It's one thing I can control. I don't have control over other things than that. He's supposed to be the leader. Their manager's asleep. He's supposed to be the leader there. At least Liam Hendricks, when he came on, admitted it's a dead-ass team and that they need to light a fire under them. That's just drives you crazy on a week-to-week basis. And I want to get into the La Russa sleeping thing because that happened when I was gone, too.
By the way, did you see
the excuse-making?
Did you see the numbers on Tim Anderson? Like, how bad they've been since, like, what is it, like May
27th? Yeah, like the first month he was good.
There was a tweet that someone sent out.
I've seen lots of people recently point out how Tim Anderson is not really generating any power. He's hitting a few singles here and there, but
who is generating power on that team?
No one. It's a good point. Almost nobody.
And then they all hit. When they do hit, it's on the road. It's crazy the way they hit better on the road.
Isn't this
and
like
win more on the road?
This is like the 2019 Cubs, where they'd get all the runs out at once, get you like 8-9 runs, and then everything else was one or two.
Right. They average with 4 or 5 runs a game, but it's from scoring 8 one game and 0 the next. You know? What do you got, Meller? What's your bad?
My bad, gentlemen. Listen, I love having it back in my life, but I woke up at 6:30 on Saturday morning and was rewarded with the draw from Liverpool, so that was bad for me. And then Erling Haaland, who is the big money signing for the Manchester City club, scored 2 goals, and in the post-match interview, offered this up.
Could have been more. You think he should have walked away with a hat-trick?
Yeah, I could. If you saw the Gundo right before I went off, I should have been there, so... But that's how it is.
Steady with the language.
He says steady with the language, and then he immediately swears for swearing.
Like it.
So bad on Erling Haaland, although he's good.
It could be dirty.
Sylvie's like, what the hell just happened?
No, I enjoyed it. What do you got, Tyler?
My bad is the Little League World Series has reviews now, and I found out this from my friend who was doing one of the Little League World Series games this weekend. He said there was a 3-hour delay in the game he was working. South Carolina had beaten North Carolina twice already, but video review overturned the final out both times, and they were headed to the 10th inning. You want to know how to bring out the worst in youth sports is add video review. Parents are already insane as they are,
yeah.
And now you're going to bring video review into the
right.
Little League World Series.
Get it right, Blue! Get it right!
When did they start broadcasting all the regionals?
I don't know.
Because today it was wall-to-wall on ESPN.
Yeah, I know. You were pissed because there was no get-up after a certain hour.
1 hour of get-up is all I got today.
Get up and get out.
Yeah. Get up quick. And then get out.
Yeah.
What do you got for your
My dirty?
Is
piggyback what Tyler said about Dylan Cease. He's been just downright filthy. What'd you say, 13th straight start?
13.
Giving up a run or fear? I mean, like, that's crazy. Even when his stuff isn't like dynamite, you know what he's done? He's learned how to get through rocky moments, self-inflicted stuff. He's just been, like, he's been Cy Young worthy this year.
Yes, he has. He is. Dirty. Where is he right now? He's got to be close to the top
Verlander,
of the
odds. Verlander and then him, probably.
Verlander,
right?
And then last I saw, this was on Saturday.
He's a kid from
McClanahan
the Rays.
Was number 2, but he got rocked by, I think, the Tigers this weekend.
Mm-hmm.
So there may have been a flip-flop there.
His stuff is fantastic. My dirty is reading this headline last night as I was trying to catch up. I was perusing Twitter. And I'm like, oh, this is going to be a fantastic Waddle's World show. It's super dirty. The headline on Twitter from the New York Post read, Italian decathlete's penis kept popping out of shorts during race. So I sent it to the boys. I'm like, this is fantastic. It's dirty. It's everything we want. And in true Waddle's World fashion, the boys told me that this was a Waddle's World story from Friday.
Not only did we discuss this or bring it to the audience's attention on Friday, during Waddle's World, we had a nice conversation with Bleck and Abdallah afterwards because Bleck's a runner.
About the debate. Yeah. And so I was so proud of you guys because, as always, Waddle's World brings the news and then everyone else follows. I read this Sunday night. This was on Waddle's World on Friday. Yeah. And then I read in the story that he kept holding.
He was in first place for the start of the race.
You let it go. You let it hang.
That's what Bleck said.
You go.
It's a 400.
Run, Forrest, run.
It's less than a minute.
What? Who cares? You're in a race.
Maybe he's afraid he was going to snap off. I don't know. I don't know what he was thinking.
So I thought that was dirty all the way around.
Here's what my
good thought, by you
my
guys.
My first thought was either his shorts are too small or his thing's too big. You should have figured that out before the race started.
What's the undergarment for runners? I mean, they don't just... You have to wear something, right?
Usually like you wear these tight shorts. It's got like the... the insert that keeps them snug and tight. Like it's got a built-in, almost like a swimsuit.
Spandex or liner.
You got to have a liner, right?
This guy obviously
apparently
did.
Apparently not.
He was not...
Can you manage your running, too? I mean, like...
Can't stop.
The beans
can only
come
hope
out
to contain
too,
it.
What if one of the beans is out there flopping, too?
Who you could cares? Hurt.
We're talking like some testicular torsion.
Yeah, you don't want the torsion.
No!
But I would say he was covering it up for fear of embarrassment or fear of... who cares? Run!
Wonder if his decision changes if the stakes of the race are higher. Like, if that's the Olympics, because this is, I don't even know what race he's racing in. But
still,
if that's the Olympics,
decathlon.
If that's the Olympics, are you letting it fly?
It was the U20. It was the under-20, like, decathlon event, I don't know, was it the Europeans? He was an Italian guy.
Yeah, right. I was so happy. I was like a proud papa. I'm like, look at Waddle's World.
Yeah.
Always breaking the news.
Tuck your junk.
Tuck.
Yeah, that's old news, Sylvie. That was Friday's news.
We're
trying to figure in better
things. I love
things.
It.
Yeah.
That's the point of this.
What
do you got?
My dirty gentleman, we played it earlier, but if you're not going to revisit it here, when are you going to revisit this? Of course, when you invite Charlie Hustle into the booth to tell a story. You better be expecting this.
Who said, Tony, congratulations. What did you hit? And Tony says, yo, I hit a high fastball. And Joe didn't know what to say. Joe said, no.
That's looped out to right field.
You change the subject real quick on that loop out to right field.
I'm just describing the action. I'm
pretty sure we don't have a 7-second delay, so.
Ooh.
That's on comes into the studio or comes into the booth.
I feel fairly comfortable saying that was the last time you'll ever hear Pete Rose in a Major League Baseball booth.
Incredible.
Boys, I hit a high fastball.
Yes, it was. It's just like the thought that you could say that and then you could say what Joe said was...
He had such a weird day yesterday. That was an odd, weird, dirty day from Pete Rose. And wrap us up, Tyler.
We already kind of hit on it earlier, but Jacob DeGrom, he was dirty on, Sunday, where he goes 5 2/3, struck out 12, and he's got a slider that's hitting 96 miles an hour.
Dirty. It's dirty. The good, the bad, the dirty brought to you by Window Nation, 866-90-NATION. All right, I got Football Fest VIP tickets we have to give away. And then Aaron Rodgers discusses his decision to say, I own the Bears. You'll hear that coming up.
Ah, the delicious sound of Miller Time. And this Waddle and Sylvie show celebrating Miller Time every single day. You should do the same. It's delicious, it's fun, it's entertaining. And we're going to be taking this show on the road throughout the rest of the year, courtesy of our great friends and partners at Miller Lite. So what you need to do is listen every single day to find out where we will be next. Cheers. It's Miller Time, and please celebrate responsibly.
Waddle and Sylvie.
Podcasts are ready on the all-new ESPN Chicago app.
ESPN 1000, Chicago's home for sports.
Football Fest is less than 2 weeks away, isn't it?
Yes.
Yeah. It's going to be outstanding. It's coming up on August 20th. The days off the August calendar are just going by in a blink
melting.
Of an eye.
They're melting.
It's just, yeah. A lot of good weather left, but I heard Carmen again bring up how he loves getting closer to football, but he hates what's around the corner weather-wise and everything like that. I wish summer would last forever. Saturday, August 20th, we're going to be at Hard Rock Casino in Northern Indiana. Brand new event. It's called Football Fest. This isn't just fantasy football. It's about sports betting. It's about the Bears. It's about the NFL. And it's about fantasy. Adam Schefter and Field Yates will be there along with all of us from ESPN 1000 and ESPN Chicago. So you're going to meet us all. Now, the doors open at 10 a.m. For these VIP tickets, don't you get extra bonuses that we're giving away right now, Tyler? Don't doors open a little bit early for them and special meet and greet?
Yeah, you get to meet the guests. You get to meet Field Yates. You get to meet Adam Schefter. And you get behind the scenes with all the other ESPN 1000 people in attendance.
Drinks and food also included for the VIP tickets? Yes?
I'm not sure on that.
Drinks included? Is that what the question was?
Yeah, that was my question. Because I thought on the last, because I don't have the read for, this is just a normal football fest. But I believe that's what you gave me before vacation. If you don't win VIP passes that we're giving away now, you can register at ESPN Football Fest. It is free. It is free. But you got to register at ESPN Football Fest. Callers 10 and 20 right now will get a pair of Football Fest VIP tickets.
I have a question, quick question about that. Are you allowed to give away free drinks for something you're not charging admission to?
Well,
what
but
is the protocol?
But the drinks are, I mean, it's cash bar, right? For everyone at Football
Correct.
Fest?
Yes, I would assume. I'm just wondering. I don't know what the
VIP
rules are
passes.
About giving. Are you allowed to give out free drinks?
Get legal
why,
on bets.
Why wouldn't you?
I don't know. That's why I'm asking. Didn't know what the protocol is.
What would be the rationale for not being allowed to give out free drinks to free?
I'm not 100% sure. That's why I asked the question.
We have
You're
many
answering
questions.
A question
we,
with a question.
We don't have answers.
Yeah.
We have many questions.
This
no
isn't
answers.
Just specific to the football fest. It's just in general.
I mean, we're going to be in Indiana, so I don't know what.
Oh,
the laws
everything's
are.
No
yeah.
rules.
Yeah.
Right.
There are no
different
rules. Good
Indiana
point.
Versus
Good
Illinois.
Point. Yeah,
I love this place, the Hard Rock Casino in Northern Indiana. It's been a while. They've got the sports book. They've got table games. I always like that if you want to step away from the fest or before the fest or after the fest, you and your buddies want to get together. You want to go play some blackjack.
You get your gamble on.
Yeah. Watch some games.
And your drinks.
You
all
get that. Your drinks. Yeah, free or not.
Yeah.
VIP tickets, whatever that includes, caller 10 and 20 right now at 312-332.
I came to Football Fest to meet Sylvie. Where's he at?
I'll be there.
He's in the casino. Go find him.
Now, I'll be there from start to close to the finish, I would assume.
I think you're there giving fantasy advice. Or what are you? What are
no,
your? What's your role?
Meller gives away fantasy advice.
What is? I think we all have specific roles.
I have not
this year. I have not been told what it is, but like I think we're all kind of doing something.
Are we doing Crosstalk Unhinged again? Then?
That
are
I'm
we
not 100% sure.
No, Peggy and Dion are doing a show again. I tune in on Saturday, and that show just makes me feel happy.
Yeah,
they just the way they talk Bears. And the way they just have fun and laugh, they just it makes me happy driving around town with the kids listening to Peggy and Dion.
We had Peggy on Friday in your absence, Sylvie, and we gave her kudos because I don't know if you know this. She's the one who pressed Luke Getsy on if he was invited to go partake with Aaron Rodgers.
On the, what is it called? The ayahuasca?
Yes, yes.
That's the mushroom or the...
The psychedelics.
Psychedelic, right?
Peg also let us know that, like, SIU is kind of the home for some of that behavior, so...
Really?
I think she did, didn't she?
She said that's the last time she partook in...
And I told her flat out, I was, I think, a freshman in college. That's the last time I went down that road.
Never did mushrooms.
Oof.
I always wanted to, and I've always...
We still have time.
I get a little worried. I get a little worried about the way this brain was going to handle all that stuff.
And that's why you'll never be the MVP of the NFL.
You're right. And speaking of Aaron Rodgers, is a good segue. Barstool Big Cat and PMT had, and pardon my take, they had him on with PFT commenter. Finally, they surprised everyone. They went to Green Bay, an undercover mission, and they interviewed Aaron Rodgers. He discussed owning the Bears. and if he regrets saying it and tormenting Bears fans. You'll hear that coming up next.